Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Welcome, everyone, to today's Blog Talk Radio broadcast. My name is Cassandra Job, the presenter of today's broadcast, which is hosted by Philip Finger Ajisafe. He is also today's speaker. Today's topic for discussion is In the Valley of Trouble. To avoid any background interference, we ask that you please put your phones on mute while listening. May the Lord bless his ministry. Thank you.
I'm so glad for tonight, and thank you for listening to this Blog Talk Radio. Like the presenter just said, we want to just have a discussion on that great topic, in the valley of trouble. In the valley of troubles. Everybody knows what trouble could look like, and nobody wants to be in that state. Before, I just want to give us a just description or the meaning of valley and the meaning of troubles as they were defined by dictionaries. And I will try to relate it to the scriptures. Then try to just give us some idea of what to do when we find ourselves in these unwanted things, which is part of the life. According to the dictionary, valley may be an elongated lowland between ranges of mountains, hills, or other uplands, often having a river or stream running along the bottom. You know, a valley just looks like mountain on the right side or on the left side with water in between. In essence, a condition in that state will not permit the inhabitant to see beyond his surrounding mountainous area. Then I will just give small description or definition of trouble as dictionary put it. Trouble could be a state or condition of mental distress or anxiety. And that is what I will try to dwell on in this broadcast of tonight. We have a different kind of troubles, but the aspect of the mental, which is very pathetic, is we can term it to be a psychological disorder or a neurological disorder. That is a state or condition. It could be a state or it could be a condition of mental distress or anxiety. In the book of Psalm 23, verse 4, it stated that, I read New King James Version, which says, We're sorry for these inconveniences. It's just a power failure. I will continue. Devil is a liar. I'm trying to read from the book of Psalm 23, verse 4. And it reads us, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And as you read from Psalm 50, verse 15, Psalm 50, verse 15, says something. He said, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Then, with this meaning, we want to know, what is the origin of the trouble? Well, scripture, actually, when we look into the scripture, we can get a glimpse of this, the origin. In the book of Job, chapter 5, verse 6, and it reads us, I just paraphrase it, Job 5, verse 6, 7, and 8. For affliction does not come from dust, nor troubles spring from the ground. Verse 7. Yet man is born to trouble, as the sparks fly upward. Then he gave us some reasonable answer. When we find ourselves in this very corrosive condition or state, verse 8 of Job chapter 5 says something. He said, but as for me, I will seek God, and to God I will commit my cause. Now, before I go into the detail of this discussion of the valley of trouble, just like we have just enumerated what we can consider in a natural or physical phenomena to be a valley, as an elongated lowland between ranges of mountains or hills or other uplands, often having a river or stream running along the bottom. And as we just discussed, that trouble could be a state or condition of mental distress or anxiety. Now, we want to use a mental state to interpret a physical one. Just like if somebody stays in between the valley, it's like he's constraining himself. He cannot see beyond the wall of that valley that's surrounding him. For instance, if there is a problem, the way of escape is very limited. I would like to read some oracle, which is real, about somebody in the Second World War that found himself in a serious trouble, which we can term as a valley of trouble. The name of the person that told the story of a Romanian soldier was Daniel Christiansen. This man told about a relative, a Romanian soldier in World War II. The name of that soldier was Anna. Pardon me, because I may not be able to pronounce the name correctly. But the first name is Anna. This last name very difficult for me. It's called Georgi, G-E-E-O-R-G-H-E. This man was telling a live experience of what really happened to him during this war. It was 1941, and the troops had overrun the Romanian region of Bessarabia and entered Moldavia. Anna and his comrade were badly frightened. Bullets whistled around them, and mortar shells shook the earth. By day, Anna sought relief reading his Bible, but at night, he could only crouch close to the hearth and recall verses memorized in childhood. One day, during a spray of enemy fire, Anna was separated from his company. In a panic, he bolted deeper and deeper into the woods until, huddling at the base of a large tree, he fell asleep from exhaustion. The next day, trying to find his comrades, he moved cautiously toward the front, staying in the shadows of the trees, nibbling a crust of bread, drinking from streams. Hearing the battle close in, he unslung his rifle, pulled the bolt, and watched for the enemy. His nerves near the breaking point. Don't forget, the valley of trouble, and like I just told you, what the meaning of trouble could be. Part of it, a state or condition of mental distress or anxiety. You know, this Romanian soldier was telling his experience. He's not near the breaking point. 20 yards away, the Russian soldier suddenly appeared. All my mental rehearsals of bravery sat mean nothing. I dropped my gun and fell to my knees, then buried my face in my sweating palms and began to pray. While praying, I waited for the cold touch of the Russian rifle barrel against my head. I felt a slight pressure on my shoulder close to my neck. I opened my eyes slowly. There was my enemy kneeling in front of me, his gun lying next to my eye among the white flowers. His eyes were closed in prayer. We do not understand a single word of the other's language, but we could pray. We ended our prayer with two words that need no translation. Hallelujah. Amen. Now we see the experience of this Romanian soldier and his physical boldness and training, the skill, and his artistic as a combatant, which he can say that he served in nothing when he was in a deep valley of trouble. And that is what I want to pinpoint. When we are in this trouble, what do we need to do? You know, I come out with this statement that sometimes one gets to start into excuses. The law of cause and effect may be obvious, but the exact connections sometimes elude us. Some people argue that why trouble? But sometimes we fail to understand that trouble is part of what can bring good. But if we want to use our mental reasoning, sometime it might fail us. If you listen to this story of this Romanian soldier, it's a real story. We could see that in the state of his trouble, he cannot even rely on his weapon or on his training. He has to succumb to faith. He has to succumb to other things greater than what he knew, what he had trained for. Of course, I will agree, because some people will tell me that, do you think faith is easy to exercise? I agree. It is difficult to act in faith as we struggle with failure, fear, and shame. Because part of the characteristics of trouble, the branches of trouble, what it can bring out is failure, fear, shame, worry, and anxiety. But all these things that I've just mentioned is an emotion. Anna, as a military combatant, realized that even well prepared as a combatant with weapon, in a state or condition that he found himself during this world war that he was telling his experience, his encounter with enemy served him nothing. And David said about himself in Psalm 23, verse 4, that though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, you know, sometimes everything that we call the trouble might not really be the trouble. But one thing is that if we focus too much on that trouble, then it becomes real. Or if we want to just analyze it, or defending it, or promoting and plan for ourselves, without taking into consideration that skill is just a skill. Doctor, a surgeon might be good, but because he's good does not necessarily mean that he has power to save. It's just a skill. It's not omniscience. So also, sometimes when we are going through this trouble, we just have to know that we have to give chances for our faith and trust in God. Because part of trouble can be the destruction of something we love ovens. The destruction of something we love ovens. And when we see this destruction of something we love ovens, what it does is that it exposes the things or people in which we place all of our trust. We should not make mistake. Life is full of ups and downs. Of course, our trouble may not be like this, Anna, which is the terror of a ferocious army. But our trouble or terror of a ferocious army might take a different form. We might fear the judgment of others, a tainted reputation, or losing control of a situation. But when we let fear determine our course, don't forget, when we let fear determine our course, then we deny God's faithfulness. Because what can we do? If Anna has relied boldly on his gun, there's a probability that when he engaged this soldier, he might be a victim of the war. You know, I have a story of a man, a sailor. It was on June 10, 1770. A British navigator, James Cook's ship, hit a reef off the northeast coast of Australia. He sailed the ship out into deeper water, only to hit the reef again. And this time, the collision almost sank the ship. You know, you will see, if we don't seriously put our trust of focus beyond our trouble. What the trouble always does, it triggers a string of other troubles and trials. This man wrote or logged into the ship his experience, and what he said is that the North Point was named Cape Tribulation because here began all our troubles. Here began our troubles. Is it possible that we can be without trouble? If somebody said that, I doubt it not. I think it's impossible. Because part of life is up and down. Sometimes it could be good, and sometimes it could be bad. Those two make up life. Just like I said, life is not fear by itself, but we should always try to focus beyond our trouble. Even if we don't know what to do, we should not always try to make senses from something that cannot make senses. Just like in the argument for God and the world by this greatest philosopher. He said this. He argued that knowledge comes not from the senses, but from reason and innate idea. From reason and innate ideas. I don't want to take us too much in about logic. But what we are saying is that it is possible, as good as we are, to find ourselves in the valley of trouble. And when we find ourselves in the valley of trouble, I think the key word, most important, is that in the book of Psalm 50, verse 15, he said, "Call unto me in the day of troubles, and I will answer you, and you will glorify me." It will relate, just like I said, the origin of the trouble. As Job experienced said, he said, "For affliction does not come from dust, nor trouble springs from the ground. Yet man is born to trouble." Because part of progress is trouble. A student has to pass examination before he gets promotion. And to pass an exam, you have to go through a true serious trouble of study and try to understand. So, we have to even know that our mental trouble or mental condition or distress or anxiety, there could be good out of it if we focus on the curator of everything, known and unknown. If the listener, we just advise you, if you have time, you can read from that Job chapter 5. Just start reading from verse 6 to 17. And I know the Holy Spirit will just reveal something unto us. But if we don't, what trouble does, one trouble trigger a string of other trials, such as the loss of a job, the death of a loved one, an unwanted divorce, or decline in health, could have been part of the list. Because what the trouble does is created to us a serious anxiety. But we should remember what David said. He said, "Though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for your rod and your staff comfort me. Trouble might be painful, but we should refuse to suffer for the trouble. So, in conclusion, I just want to tell you, sometimes we are chastened by these trials and troubles of life. Jesus said, we will have tribulation in this world. And every hero of the scripture endure times of pressure and pain. Therefore, we as a follower of God, we have to focus on God, closer to the Lord when faith is exercised during trial. Because like this man said, the 19th century Dutch reformer pastor, James D. DeMarest, once preached a sermon on trials and tribulation and trouble. He said, now I see that those things which so perplexed and tried me led to my greatest blessing. I could not then see the hand of the Lord in his dealings with me, but I see it plainly now in that painful dispensation, that is trouble, in that sickness, in that poverty, in that trouble of mind, in that agony of soul, that distressed heart. How plainly do I see now that the Lord's hand was leading me? In conclusion, when we find ourselves in the valley of trouble, I dare giving us this encouragement. Don't be discouraged. He says, the flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. Don't be discouraged today when you go through the valley of troubles. The flame shall not hurt thee. That is the Lord saying it. God said, I only design your dross to consume and thy gold to refine. And when gold is refined, all of us love it. Thank you for tuning to this broadcast today. And I know you are blessed. May the Lord bless us as we listen. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast. Please tune in for another broadcast on May 12, 2013, on which the topic will be the rule of evidences at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time. Please tune in, and may God bless you. Thank you.